Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. We come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We are rebroadcast on Sundays from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on a2zen.fm. We archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and you can download them and share them with your family, your friends, whoever you'd like. Listen to them again and again. Go to the websites of our guests. Check out the information that they have to offer, and we encourage you to do that because I think that it will be of great benefit to you. Well, as most of you who are listening, I would hope all of you who are listening know, we are in 2013. We made it. And it's I say that tongue in cheek only because, as you know, on this program, we have talked a lot about the Mayan calendar and December 21st of 2012 and the end of the world as some people saw it. And I always go back to that song by R.E.M. that the Mayans, on one hand, they were correct. It was the end of the world as we knew it. This is a new world. This is a new time, a new beginning, a new opportunity for every single one of us to go out and do the things that we feel led to do, our purpose, if you will, living your life on purpose with joy and happiness and love. And I was talking with someone just the other day about how it would just be so nice if we could just go out amongst, I'm not sure if this word was used, but amongst the brethren, and just be kind to one another, not necessarily doing acts of kindness, which is a great thing, but just be kind to one another. Now, when I was learning how to drive, my driving instructor told me that it was totally inappropriate to be nice on the roadways. For example, if I'm traveling southbound on a roadway and somebody wants to turn into traffic, for me to stop in the middle of the roadway and let this person in would be nice, but it's also dangerous. So there's a difference between being kind and trying to be nice, but not really thinking it through. So we can, by smiling at one another as we pass on the sidewalk, saying hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, how are you, if you happen to have an opportunity of that kind of exchange, and we encourage you to do that. But yeah, this person was just saying, it would be nice. Why can't we? And it wasn't a question of get along. It was just, why can't we do that? Well, there are some folks out there who want to help us to do that. And they have certain tools, if you will. I like to refer to them as modalities. And we're going to be talking with a woman today. She's our guest on the program, who has delved into a lot of different areas. She's written quite a number of books. Her latest work is Color Your Life with Crystals, Your First Guide to Crystals, Colors, and Chakras. She's the author of Chakra Awakening, Transform Your Reality Using Crystals, Colors, or Aromatherapy, and the Power of Positive Thought. My guests, Margaret Ann Lembo. And Margaret, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Well, thank you, Richard. It's a real pleasure to join you, and I'm all about being connected with how we're going to make our new reality. So I love your introduction to the show today.
Well, I know that as I flip through the book and I take a look at each one of these different gemstones, minerals, and so forth, and I'm very familiar, of course, with the chakra centers. I remember reading a book called Joy's Way, which did speak of the seven basic root chakras, as I'll refer to them, because there is a single root chakra in the seven, but that it also spoke of other chakra centers on the body. They're minor, and they're all over the body. They're in the hands, and they're in the feet, and they're in the knees, and the elbows, and so forth and so on, in the joints in particular. But that was never addressed in some of the teachings that I was privy to. And I'm curious as to your understanding of just the total human body as, in a manner of speaking, an energy generator.
Yes, we really are an energy generator. It's great that you phrase it in that terminology, because I believe, and I know for a fact, actually, that we are always broadcasting all of our thoughts, feelings, emotions, and it's constantly being sent out, and these thoughts, feelings, and emotions that we're broadcasting, just like you're broadcasting your radio show right now, are actually attracting our realities to us. That's how we create our life and create our world. And so therefore we are responsible for how our life evolves. And these are stored, if you want to say they're stored, these thoughts, feelings, and emotions in our energy centers. And these energy centers are bands of energy, the rainbow body, the blue, the red, the green, the whole rainbow effect. Every single portion of our consciousness is holding these vibrations, and they are sort of segregated. You can't totally segregate them based on the color and the type of thought form that we're holding at the moment.
Well, it's interesting because I've asked this question on numerous occasions to primarily health practitioners who are very much aware of the fact that, everything is energy. And I raise this question. If everything is energy, and I mean everything, and we take a look at the latter part of 2012 and the first month or two of 2013, we were going through, in the United States in particular, what has been referred to as a flu epidemic. And I'm not exactly sure what the source, if it's a bacteria or if it's a virus, exactly what it is. But what I do know from conversations on this program, it's energy. And I've had conversations regarding various types of food. And, of course, people are promoting organic and, homegrown in your own garden and so forth, as opposed to buying the packaged material. Or when you're in the grocery store, if you have to go into the grocery store, you don't want to shop in the middle of the store. Shop at the ends, because the produce is at one end and, of course, meats, fish and so forth are at the other. And they're usually going to be fresher and that kind of thing. Don't buy packaged, processed. But if everything is energy, what difference does it make? Well, I'm not speaking specifically of food per se, but just in general, when people start getting concerned about these kinds of issues, like the types of food that we take into our bodies, or even the pollution in the air, that's just energy, isn't it? That's really...
But it's what kind of energy is it? That's the key. It's
there's the differentiation.
Right? Yes, because, I will want to, I try to always buy organic because I feel like those people that are growing organic or raising their animals or fish organically, they themselves have a higher level of consciousness. So that's one aspect of it. And then the other aspect is those beings, whether it's a plant or an animal or whatever it is, because plants have consciousness too, they're being taken care of with respect and love.
Okay.
Versus how fast can we grow you and just take this, antibiotic so you can, get through this so we can eat you,
Right.
You follow what I mean?
I do. And we even take antibiotics for things like the flu and various things that come along. And yet my understanding is that if we just took into our systems those elements that reinforced our own antibodies, we wouldn't need antibiotics. Our bodies could just take care of it.
It's rare that I take antibiotics anymore. It's really, really few and far between because, I grew up in a family of a wonderful family that the consciousness was one that was a little bit more old school, like old country. So my grandmother used to have an expression, it takes 7 days to get better if you don't go to the doctor, but if you go to the doctor, it takes a week.
And the difference between a week and 7 days is?
Nothing.
Exactly. But what this, I'm going to bring this back around because you are not offering through this concept of dealing with the chakras and crystals, you're not offering a panacea in terms of end-all and be-all, this is the answer. But there are things that we can do both internally as well as externally to help ourselves through the various... shall we call them energetic downtimes? And I'm not speaking just specifically of cold and flu and those types of things, because there are other things that go on in our lives. Even certain events that happen in our lives can give us that downturn. So am I correct in understanding that there is a role that crystals can play in helping us to, if not prevent us or keep us from going too far down energetically, they can at least help us to maybe maintain a level energy.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate you even asking that question, because I firmly believe, and I know if my life has changed significantly for the better, because I use these, first of all, I use these tools, and that's what they are, they're tools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not the end-all, be-all, like you said. If this is not, you know, I'm going to hold a rock and voila, I'm all better. Not at all. It is about being awakening our own consciousness, because our thoughts are energy. They vibrate. They send a message out. And so our thoughts create our reality. So if I'm going to walk around saying, oh, it's cold and flu season, I'm going to get it. The flu is terrible this year, so I'm going to get the flu. Some level of our consciousness has that belief system, and voila, you get the flu.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, sometimes that's true, because I'm not going to discount the medical aspect that there might be a germ or a viral, you know, aspect.
Right.
But perhaps because my immune system becomes stronger through using my essential oils or focusing on positive thought and doing the things that are going to be for my highest good, it's less likely that germ or viral activity will affect me. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean it can never happen, because I'm human.
You right.
know, we're all human. But it's lessened. It's like in the same thing with thought forms and emotions and how we deal with life and living. How far down the rabbit hole are we going to go? You know, but maybe we'll only go for 5 minutes. With maybe years ago, before we awakened our awareness and our consciousness, we went for days, weeks, or months, mm-hmm. or sometimes years, and had to get on meds. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and you and I both know that there are people out there. And I don't know if you watch much television or if you're aware of the television series Big Bang Theory and the physicist,
yeah.
but there are physicists,
there
are people out there like Sheldon Cooper who would say this is a lot of hokum and hooey.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that what you're presenting today on the program actually takes me back to when I first started learning about this when I was in my late teens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, it's kind of like old home week, you know, going back to these things. Tell me, because I do want to get into some specifics here, especially when it comes to the various types of crystals, minerals, and so forth. And I also want to get into the issue of colors. And I'll share something with you a little bit later on in the program in reference to my experience with colors. But we're not talking about something that's been developed in the last 15, 20, 30, or even 40 years. This has been around for centuries?
Thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of years. It really has, because it's working energetically. It has to do with working with color. And the gemstone aspect is adding the mineral, but also the amplification of the color. So whether you're wearing it in the clothes that you wear, or the color you choose to put on the walls of your home or office, or whether the ring that you're putting on your finger, it's all about maintaining your focus with your intention. And wherever your intention and attention is focused on creates reality. And that's been proven actually scientifically. I do not have the lists of all the different studies that have been done to provide that on the show for you. I should pull those together, though. But it definitely has been proven. And I've seen and observed very respected individuals, whether in politics as well as in the medical industry, doctors that utilize the power of intention and the power of positive thought. And that's what this is really about. It's about awakening. What are you thinking? You know, when people say, I don't know this, how this happened to me. And it's like, okay, well, what were you thinking?
There you go. I'm a believer in that. And unfortunately, I'm not always a conscious believer in that. And that's kind of what happens to us, is we kind of forget. And then those words come out. And it's like, oops. And you want to take them back. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can neutralize them in some fashion. I'm going to run down real quickly here for our listeners who are not that familiar. There are the seven basic chakras in the body, and they correlate to the various to seven of the colors. Actually, they're 8, 9, 10, because you actually utilize two or three colors for one particular chakra. But we have the root chakra, which is the base of the spine, and it's red. There's the belly, or what some people call just below your belly button, which is orange. The solar plexus, yellow. The heart is either green or pink, and we can talk about the differentiations between those two. Now, the throat, you have three different colors listed here. A pastel or turquoise blue. Actually, that's two. I take that back. And then you have the third eye, which is indigo, and then violet, of course, is the crown chakra at the top of the head. And I know that it doesn't make a whole lot of difference as to why, because it just, these are the colors that are associated with these chakras. I don't know that it makes all that much difference why they were chosen, but there you are. That's what we have to work with. And it goes back thousands and thousands of years. I know that for myself, the fifth chakra, which is the throat chakra, is probably the most dominant because of the field of work that I happen to be in.
Exactly.
And that each person can probably tap into one of these seven based upon maybe their occupation or the type of person that they are, you know, and so forth. And so one of the things that we want to kind of get into is the connection between the chakra itself and these different colors. And I'm wondering, maybe you can help me to understand this, not so much because we're not going to go into the, well, why is the root chakra red and why is the crown chakra violet? But what if we were to utilize gemstones or minerals and so forth that were of a different color, let's say red, on the crown chakra, or blue on the root chakra, etc.? In other words, it's not exactly mixing and matching, but there's an effect there. So tell us a little bit about the vibrations, their, their effect, as far as at least the seven basic colors and the chakras.
I love this because this is so important, and it's a much deeper way of understanding how colors and energy work. So if you let's use your example. If you're, you know, say you decide, okay, well, I'm going to use some blue energy, whether it's a color, that's the color in your life, or a gemstone, or whatever it is, a pair of underwear, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But you're intending to put some blue on at the root chakra level for a root chakra issue, which might have to do with being angry or inflamed or over hyperactive. And adding blue there is the perfect color to utilize. It's a complementary or a contraindication type of color because it calms it down. If you think of red, red is active. It's like the color of fire. It's hot. Mm-hmm. And blue is cool. When we get a sprained ankle, we throw on a nice bag of ice or one of those blue ice packs on our ankle. So that's to calm down the inflammation. So likewise, that works. There's complementary colors, if we all go back to our color wheel that we learned probably as children, the opposite color will help to calm down or realign or balance out if we're wanting too much one way or the other way. So likewise, after you mentioned, I think you said putting orange or something like that.
Yeah, putting orange on the crown chakra, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, that might activate if we're being too lackadaisical or a little bit too let's say, timid, even comes to mind, because orange is a vibration of taking action, moving forward, stopping the procrastination, being too sleepy, you know, too sleepy about life and living. And so that moves us forward, and at the crown chakra level, adding more orange vibration, and this is giving me a revelation too, because I've been attracted to using more orange lately, it helps us to reactivate our connection with the divine. We are all aligned with the divine. We all have access to universal wisdom and knowledge, inventions, whatever we need and want, any help we want from a higher level of consciousness. So I often describe the crown chakra as this beautiful white light energy with iridescent violet and flecks of little gold speckles or sparkles going on in that field, and that in many ways could be even reflected as a golden orangey color, and so it's activating the connection with higher consciousness. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Very, very nice. I know too that there are other colors other than these seven basic colors, just obviously when you think of the rainbow. And so as you were speaking there, especially about putting on a particular color of clothing, what about other than these seven? I mean, I know that most of the other colors are derivatives thereof as well. I mean, even the seven are derivatives of the prime or primary colors. But what about black and white?
Yes, black is really the full spectrum of light, and so is white. So working with black and white has to do with the energies of contrast. And often when we have more darkness in our life, or we need to go into the cave of our consciousness, that's from where we can come out and give birth to great ideas. From within the darkness comes the light. And I say that somewhat poetically, but literally, we come out of a womb. It's dark in there.
Yeah.
We come out into the light. So we have to give birth from that full spectrum of colors, because you mix all the colors together, you get black.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in the white light also carries a full spectrum of light. That's why clear quartz crystals or diamonds are so profound, because they refract and reflect all the colors that there are. Yeah. The black energy would be the root chakra, the connection with the earth and being here as humans on the earth plane. And the white vibration at the crown of the head would be the vibration of connecting with our spirit or our higher consciousness. And that's what we're here to do, is live from, bring it down, bring heaven down and earth up, and meet in the middle, and hopefully at the heart chakra from the place of love.
Margaret Ann Lembo is my guest, and her latest work is Color Your Life with Crystals. We're going to talk more with her. And when we get back from our break, we're going to talk about colors, letters, and numbers here on Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Tell me your story.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Thanks so much for joining us. We're talking with Margaret Ann Lembo. She's the author of her latest work, Color Your Life with Crystals. And some people actually will do that. They'll take some crystals and they'll crush them up in those colors, and then they'll put them in some kind of a pasty thing and paint them on the walls or on pictures. I've actually seen some pretty neat art made of crushed crystal, Margaret. It's fascinating stuff, and that's got to create an energetic of its own kind when you've taken those gemstones and transformed them into another format, if you will. It's very interesting. I wanted to get into the subject of colors. Now, you mentioned, of course, you know, I went through some phases, color phases, in my life. I wasn't that conscious of it as a kid growing up, but when I got into my early mid-teens and into my 20s, I wore lots of brownish shades, and I just flat out felt comfortable. I just like, no, this is my color. I just really, that's what I want to wear. I'm now in my early 50s, and I enjoy wearing certain, I'm not going to say bright colors like yellows and fluorescent oranges and things of that nature, but I like, for example, shirts in particular that are one stark strong color like a turquoise or blue and so forth, or green. I don't know. There's just something about it. And then, of course, there's also the Western look and so on and so on and so on. But in relation to letters and numbers, I know there's a name for this. And before I forget, I'm going to throw this out to you, so at least you can be thinking of it. I also want to talk about the connection between your chakras, the colors, and an individual's aura. But before we go there, I want to ask you about, I want to share with you, and I wish I could remember the name of what this is.
Numerology?
No, but I see numbers. Each individual number from 1 to 9 and 0. Each of them has its own individual color. It's almost the spectrum of the rainbow in that order, almost. And then when those numbers are put together, they create their own shading. The same thing with letters, the alphabet. The English alphabet, each letter has its own distinct color. And then when you put those letters together, for example, I see the months of the year as the combined shading of the letters that it's created from. And it goes around the 12-month calendar in my mind. And there are people who see numbers and letters and colors. I'm one of them.
Wow, that's profound. That is so amazing. When are you going to write a book about this?
I actually interviewed someone some years ago. I have to pull that interview up again because I need to get in touch with this person because I've always done that. This was nothing spectacular in my mind. It's often when I'm talking with someone and we get into religious conversations about Jesus, I say, well, you do realize that from Jesus' perspective, the things that he was doing were no big deal to him because he could just do them, okay? So for me, it's no big deal. It's just what I do, you know? It's like I have five fingers on my right hand and I have five fingers on my left hand. It's not a miracle. It's just what it is, you know? But let's talk a little bit about surrounding ourselves with colors, not just in terms of clothing, but in terms of our living space and our working space, let alone, say, the color of the car that we might drive and those kinds of things.
Well, I totally always find that every time we really consciously choose color with intention, we can make an attempt, let's say, at focusing our awareness on what we want to create in our lives. So in my home office, which is where I do most of my writing and most of my work for all my businesses, I have a very pale violet lavender color. Ooh. And that keeps me calm. It keeps me tuned in and it keeps me calm. And I picked it with intention. It wasn't just because I was like, oh, what a pretty color, which it is. But it was because of intention.
Mm-hmm.
And I have that same vibration, and I notice I say vibration, but that same color, which is a vibration, in my office for my staff, where the main operations center is for the wholesale division and receiving department at my store. So in other words, we choose what we need. So if we need more love in our lives and we want to take more action in our lives, reds and pinks can be prevalent. You were mentioning that you're wearing more of the jewel tone colors right now and that you're being attracted to wearing those solid colors and vibrant energy. And that's a part of your life now that you're ready to really come to full fruition, or you are actually being all that you can be and truly shine your brilliance through these jewel tone vibrations. Whereas when you were younger, you were still in the soil of the earth, still growing, still trying to get comfortable with being on planet Earth. That's why the browns of the earth were more comfortable at that time.
Yeah.
At least that's my perception. And I can often, and I'm sure you could too, because of your connection with colors and the way that you see them in colors and letters and words and how they harmonize, because it's also the scale of music, all of these colors. We can read each other, so to speak. We can know what kind of day that person is having, or what's going on in their life on some level based on the colors that they're choosing in the moment.
You actually went exactly where I wanted to go next, because I wanted to turn that around and say, okay, what does it say about a person who is wearing a particular color or who has painted their house a particular color that you don't want to be close to and wish they would repaint the house a different color?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah, so how can we, what's the best method of understanding that?
Well, of course I'm going to say read all of my books on color. Go to my website, go find the books, read about the colors. Because, you know, I often will provide at the end of a meet and greet the author, because I travel the country on book tour, and at the end of the event that I offer, I'll often go around the room and give each person a little mini reading using my Angel Gemstone Oracle cards. But I'm really barely using my cards. I'm really tapping into the person, connecting with them and their energy fields. But I'm also looking at what color clothes are they wearing? What's going on with them? What color jewelry did they choose today? And that provides me, it's like giving me all the information I need to know to tell them what's already in their energy fields, what's going on for them. And you think that's amazing, and it is in some ways. We can all do it. But the nice thing about it is it also helps them to feel more understood,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes they don't even realize it about themselves. So it helps having empathy and understanding with a fellow human being, but it also helps us to know if it's a day that we do or do not want to interact with an individual. So understanding the colors, really getting to know, to really answer your question, is to understand that red has to do with action and moving forward, whereas if someone's wearing a lot of, let's say, turquoise and orange together, that combination's an interesting and very pretty combination. But that usually tells me somebody's an artist or has artistic talent. They're very creative. And so I could go on and on for this. We don't have enough time on your show for me to go on forever with that. But there are color combinations that give me clues, as well as knowing, you know, what kind of mood they might be in based on the colors they wear.
Here's a little twist on all of this, too, and that is, how about the individuals who have chosen to use their bodies as canvases, whether it be tattoos or piercings of any type? And I'm not speaking of the action of doing those things. I'm speaking of the effects of those colors and even those metals on the energetic field of the individual. Can you talk to that? Can you speak to that at all?
I wish I could. I'm standing here going, what do you say about that? You know, I don't mean this at all in judgment. It's just I don't get it. I don't get
Right. Putting
the ink on the body. I just don't get it. So
right.
I have to be authentic and be honest and say, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
And I have to say that,
you know,
I have a number of friends here in Santa Barbara who do have tattoos. And mm-hmm. I've actually, for the last 15, 20 years, I've actually contemplated. But I have two questions that I can't answer. And that one of them is, what? And the other is, where? In other words, what image? And then where am I going to have? Well, the why, if I can't answer the first two, the why is irrelevant. The why is absolutely irrelevant. But again, and I ask the question with absolutely no judgment, because I have seen some absolutely spectacular artwork on people. I mean, it's and of course the funny thing is they're just the canvas. They didn't do the art. It was the tattoo artist who took that needle and the ink and put it there. But still, it's just incredible. And I just was curious if there was anything in that regard, in terms of, I know that there are people who will put symbols. I know of someone who has an Om symbol at the base of their spine on their back.
Yes.
And
I know a few people actually that have that. Yes.
Yeah. And I can tell you, because I know this person well, they had this put there, and it was a profound experience for a couple of days after, and it wasn't necessarily in a good way, because that place on the body is an energetic, or maybe a secondary chakra center, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have that kind of activity on the physical body going on tends to interfere with that energy. And so they had to sort of recover from that. Whereas if it's just on the arm or the leg or something like that, it's not nearly as energetically traumatic, shall we say. So
true. I mean, it's, you know, it's putting some pretty permanent vibration right there at these meridians. I mean, every single acupressure and acupuncture point are actual chakra centers.
Yeah. I want to remind our listeners, too, that this program, in spite of the fact that Margaret is correct, we don't have all the time in the world on this program. What we do have is what's called an afterview. And this program continues on beyond the radio broadcast. It continues on beyond the A to Zen broadcast. We do chat for 5, 10, 15 minutes longer. It just really kind of depends upon where the universe wants us to go. And you can get that additional piece of the program by going to richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and you can then listen to the interview and the full extent of our conversation on the archives page. So I just want to make that clear to you that there's always more. So we encourage you to check that out. And this subject of energy and colors and this whole aspect is, to me, very, very intriguing, because I know, too, that even though the big deal these days as far as the exterior of, say, structures is usually something along the lines of glass and those kinds of things, it's not really color, it's clear. I know, too, that we have this yearning to be close to certain colors. You know, it's not just a question of I feel a certain way, so I'm going to wear this color. But there's some people would ask me, so what's your favorite color? I mean, you get that all the time, I'm sure. And, you know, I most of the time, I would say blue as I was growing up, even though I wasn't wearing much blue in my teens and 20s. And then I started to shift into more of a purple or violet. And I've been told by someone who sees auras that I have a yellow-violet aura or a violet-yellow aura, and that this person has certain meanings for those colors in that context. And I'm wondering about the chakras and auras and their connection.
Oh, there's a huge connection. That's what makes up our aura. The chakra system makes up our auric field. So from a being able to see, let's say, see the aura, whether it's using aura imaging, photography, or the various technologies that are out there to observe the color vibrations in our energetic field. So we're looking at color and can see the color, but then the other aspect is even becoming aware of what energy centers are holding what pieces of consciousness. So if at the root chakra we're holding the belief system that there's never enough for everyone, and that there's always enough for everybody, there's no need for overdoing the competition bit, then that's going to show up on some level. But if they're very angry, they're going to have probably more red in their energy field, but it could mean that they're also passionate about life. It just has to get to know what the individual's about. Whereas someone like you and myself that have violet and more violet in the energy fields, we're questioning higher levels of consciousness. It appears that you have a very good handle on this subject. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to ask these kinds of questions and have this kind of conversation. So you're having the idea or the energy that she can see in your energy field is purple and yellow, which in fact are complementary colors, that you are probably pretty balanced in your life, and you also have a fairly strong sense of self in a balanced way, not in a conceited way. And there is a big difference, being, you know, like, ooh, look at me, versus I know who I am, and I hope you do too, but if you don't, okay, see ya.
Well, I have to say that I'm hoping that I actually learned my lesson many years ago, that whenever I would start to think a little too highly of myself, the universe had a very unique way of giving me my comeuppance. And as much as I grappled with, what do I want? Do I want to be well-known nationally and internationally for whatever it was? Or do I just want to live my life day to day and just be one of the, one of the worker bees, so to speak, and just do my thing? And I have no clue as to how that's going to unfold. And there's a part of me that actually doesn't really care. I mean, maybe on an egocentric level, yeah, it would be kind of nice to be a little known, you know, and people seek my whatever. Because there are times I'm going, well, I don't know what the heck I have to offer. I'm just doing a radio show and talking to these people. But it's very interesting how we do. We tend to buy into, I'll call it, the marketing of our society, of our culture, that says that you need to choose and you need to go out there and toot your own horn and promote yourself and market yourself and monetize everything that you do, from every step that you take to every breath that you make, in order to make it. And I'm kind of like, why?
Yeah.
Why am I wasting all of my energy on that when it's things such as this radio program and talking with you about these subjects, that if I waste my time with that other stuff, I don't have time for these interviews. I've got to be on Facebook, and I got to be on Twitter, and I got to be on LinkedIn, and I've got to be doing all of these other things. I have no time to do the radio show anymore, but it's the radio show that I'm wanting to promote.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I would have to hire a staff. I don't want to hire a staff, at least not at this time. And I think that's something that we might want to talk about in terms of what types of gemstones or crystals. And I know that in the 80s and 90s, quartz crystal just was huge. I mean, everybody was getting, you know, one for their pocket, one for their coffee table, one to put in the, a giant one to put in the window of their home. Then there were the teachings about cleansing a crystal, and how to go about doing that and so forth in terms of sort of cleaning out the old energy and what have you.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about the similarities between cleaning out the old energy of a crystal and cleaning out the old energy of the human body or the human being.
Oh, it's totally true. I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about here. And these are tools that the way I like to work with gemstones and crystals, and that I share with others and teach others to do, is when we pick our choice of crystal or crystals in our life, that they're with the intention that you're going to be pairing them with a thought form or a belief system that you want to manifest or see more evident in one's life. So in the case of clearing out negative energy or negative belief systems or emotions that are no longer serving us, if whatever stone we're drawn to, whatever stone we choose, whether it's clear quartz, which still is a huge seller. I have a bookstore and gift store for over close to 25 years now here in Palm Beach County, Florida, called the Crystal Garden, and we sell rocks all day long. And it is always with the intention that they're matching it with an affirmation. At least that's what I try to share with my clients. Because they come in and they say, oh, I want a rock so I can get rich, or I want a rock so I have a nice boyfriend. And it's like, okay, well, first let's go find the stone that you're attracted to. And then the next thing is, when you hold the stone, when you look at the stone, when you know it's in your pocket or your pillowcase, you're putting your awareness on your intention. It's like, I attract love. I attract loving relationships in my life. I am so grateful for the good friends and family I have in my life. Even if at first when you say these affirmations or positive thought form, mm-hmm. at first you don't necessarily believe them. You think, well, that's not really true. Well, it's not my true right this second, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's only a little true right this second. But the more that we put our awareness on that, the more that we focus our attention on what we do want in our lives, then we're going to be pulling it forth and drawing it in, just like whatever we focus on manifests, magnifies. Well, get rid of those negative thought forms and these gemstones, I believe, that matching with the color as well. And I also throw in aromatherapy because I'm an aromatherapist. All that can help you stay focused on what you really want in your life and to a more love and goodness and happiness. And we all have the ability to live a charmed life. It's up to us, though.
All right. Well, let me ask you something in that vein, because I grew up born and raised Catholic. First 15 years of my career, I was working for a Christian radio station. And if things went well in one's life, it was God. if things went bad in one's life, it was the devil. And over the course of those 15 years, I learned a lot. And I came to the conclusion, and I use this analogy with people many, many times. As an individual who is walking in this beautiful green meadow, and he has his hands cupped in front of him, and he is holding the equivalent of his own personal will in his hand. And he is walking around saying, I just want to do God's will, I just want to do God's will, I just want to do God's will. And he tosses it up into the air. And God, and in my analogy, he's a person, he catches this individual's will, and he has tears streaming down his face. He is so moved that one of his creation wants to do his, God's will. Now, while he is emoting and thinking along these lines, he is compressing this individual's will, compressing it down into the size of a baseball. And then he hurls it back at the individual like a 90-mile-an-hour Nolan Ryan fastball and says to the person, then do something with your life. You are not a puppet on a string being manipulated by forces you do not understand.
Mm-hmm.
So now I come to you, Margaret Ann Lembo.
Yeah.
This person comes into your store, says, I want a mate. Can I need a rock. I need a box of rocks to get a mate.
Yes.
Is it really the rock, the crystal?
Nope. Never.
So then, in a manner of speaking,
I tell them that. I say, oh, my goodness, I'd be so rich if I had rocks that would attract exactly what you want. Are you kidding? I make them laugh, you know. It's like, uh-huh. You got to be kidding. Really? You know, it's their thought, it's their belief, and it's allowing the divine to flow through them and attracting what they really want. It's
right.
Deciding that they're worthy, deciding that they're ready to allow love in their life. I love that story, though, Richard. That was great.
Well, thank you.
Excellent.
I guess what it really comes down to is the fact that, it has been said, in comparison to responsibility, you are either pregnant or you are not. There is no a little pregnant. So you're either responsible or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be 67% responsible for your life. Because then I have to ask the question, well, who's responsible for the other 33?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, I would recommend that you find that other person and you buy the other 33% back or sell the other 67%, and then you can basically, in essence, you can be a slave, because that's the alternative. And we're not. And I think that maybe this is something to talk about in relationship to how a lot of people are feeling these days. They're feeling quite put upon by the powers that be in this physical world. And they feel like they don't have any control over their lives.
Oh, don't get me started, Richard. You'll have to stay on for a very long after the show conversation for that one.
Well,
that
right.
You just hit a sore point with me when people say that.
All right. Well, let's take this to a pinpoint. And yeah. Let me ask you, what colors/crystals, and that includes minerals and gems and the whole realm there,
right, yeah,
can assist us in, if not gaining control of our lives, as we perceive we aren't, accepting that this is what is and that I need to shift my perception?
Okay, so first of all, we don't always have to accept always 100% what is. We can change that. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole very long story, and you know that story already. But if I was to choose, I'm going to choose just one crystal, because
okay.
There really are very, very, very many. I mean, another book I wrote has 160 gemstones that I give how to do what with.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so that's the Essential Guide to Crystals, coming out around the same time as this book. And I find that amethyst, though, is a good go-to stone.
Of course,
clear quartz that you mentioned earlier, but amethyst, that purple light, that purple vibration, that beautiful, it's transformative. and we can hold that with the intention in a prayerful way. I, too, was born and raised Catholic, and I never threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Same here.
It all flow into my own prayers, yeah. And I'm, you know, all about the Hail Marys and all fathers, mm-hmm. but I'm doing it with mindfulness. I'm not just rotely saying these
right.
prayers and asking my God, my guardian angels, my higher self, all that is, you know, whatever wants to jump in here, my spirit guides, to help me transform and transmute any negative belief systems that are not for my highest good and allow me to stay focused on what I do need and want and gear me toward away from what I feel put upon about, you know, yeah. to help me stop focusing on that and focus on all the goodness that I am to do and be mm-hmm. and live my life about. And because if something is putting upon me, then I need to get out of the way because I don't want it on me.
Right. Are there, now you obviously amethyst, so then violet or purple color, if you can't get your
yeah.
hands on one, is also a good thing to have around you. And by the way, going back to the amethyst, and I have seen some incredible pieces of, I mean, huge, enormous pieces
yeah.
of amethyst
yeah.
That have that green backing, you know, the
yeah.
stone backing. And I marvel at the fact that the crystals on the inside of the structure, as opposed to what seems to be most of the crystals are on the outside.
Well, it's from the walls of the cave where they
yeah.
grew inside a mountain. Yes, yes.
Oh.
Those geodes, the cathedral type, yes, those are profound. But, you know, like likewise, in the same family of stones, which is quartz crystal, amethyst is quartz.
Yeah.
It's just a purple quartz.
Purple quartz, yeah.
Then there's also citrine, which is a yellow stone. So I'm going to stay with the purple and yellow thing that's going on here because that also aligns with what you shared about yourself and your auric field. And that the yellow vibration helps then us have the confidence and the courage to shine our light, to be all that we can be. And so if we need to set a boundary because we're feeling put upon, then we can find the grace and the wisdom to do it and know that it's safe to be powerful in loving ways. And so if we need to step away, to have the courage to step away, and also to have the mental clarity, the yellow light brings the mental clarity, to find the path where you're going. And that, I think, is also a very important factor. So then you have the complementary colors. So there are two stones. There's also, you know, there's so many. I mean, the clear quartz would help bring mental clarity, and that's very easy to find. Also, I'm trying to also share some stones that it's easy for someone who decides, you know what, I'm going to go online or I'm going to, you know, go over to my local metaphysical store or rock shop and pick up a few rocks. That's something they're going to find on the shelves pretty easily, whether it's in a tumble stone for their pocket or in its natural form, like in a cluster or a larger point, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know, too, that there are a lot of gemstone or gem shows around the country. My wife and I had the privilege of joining a friend of ours, a dear friend of ours, down in Tucson, Arizona, for a gem show back in the early part of the first decade of the 21st century. I have no idea how to mm-hmm. phrase that. In the 1990s, 1980s, but what do you say about the first decade of the 21st century?
No.
In any event,
wow.
the aughts, yes, the aught decade. In any event, and we saw not just amethyst, but we saw the most incredible and huge assortment of large and small gemstones and crystals, and it was just spectacular. And I actually recall now seeing a coffee table top that was amethyst. It had been polished flat, but it was an amethyst surface. It was like, how'd you like to have that in your living room?
Very, very much so. I would very much like that. So if you want to ship that, I'll give you my address off
okay.
air.
We'll
so
do that.
So you ship that to me. I would adore that. And I also want a crystal praise bathtub.
Oh,
I have
my
so got
gosh.
That message. It's like a seafoam green stone.
Oh.
And some uplighting so that when the water is in there, it shimmers. I want a crystal
oh, my
praise
Lord.
Bathtub.
And then let's get some goldfish or what's that other... A poi? No, that's the other gold Chinese or Japanese fish.
Not while I'm in the tub.
Make a nice goldfish bowl. I only because I know of this stone, I'm going to ask you to share with us the characteristics and aspects or effects, if you will, of smoky quartz.
Very good. Yeah, smoky quartz is so helpful for helping us to stay focused and grounded. It's one of those go-to stones when you are all over the place. You're scattered here, you start a project there, and all of a sudden you're like not really getting anything done because you started too many piles. You know, and that can be in any part of your life. This is an example. And so smoky quartz is very good for grounding and focusing one's attention on a task at hand. And at the same time, smoky quartz is very good for deflecting and defracting, I want to say, negativity, whether it's our own negative thought forms and emotions or those that are maybe being imposed on us by those that we are allowing to be in our energy field, because we have choice of whether somebody can be in our life or not. You know, we do have that choice. So that's why I put it that way, that we're allowing someone in our life to do that. So it may help us to get stronger to be able to shift so that person isn't allowed to be in our space anymore, right, so that we can stop what I consider personal terrorist activity.
Yeah.
So that's a great stone for that. I also have found that if someone is healing from an emotional wound that seems to present physical symptoms in one's body, and then they end up having an operation or they have to do some literal medical type stuff because of those emotional wounds, a smoky quartz in a nice flat piece of smoky quartz to hold over the space, like, you know, if you're resting in bed because you're healing from an operation or whatever, I have found that to be really good at what I consider cauterizing the energetic field, because, you know, the emotional body, the physical body, the spiritual body, and the mental body all exist. So when we have an operation, we're still having our mental and emotional and spiritual body are affected. The knife's still cut there, too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a good stone for sealing up things that where we had to have work done in some way. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. And I think that maybe another way of looking at these gemstones and crystals, if you will, is, and you actually used the word, is it's like using a magnifying glass and allowing the rays of the sun to go through that magnifying glass to, if you're trying to start a fire, then, well, man, guess what? You can start a fire with a magnifying glass and get your campfire going. That's kind of what these stones are doing. They're taking the energies, and as you say, they're magnifying them through this filter in order to achieve the desired result.
Yeah.
And it is quite profound, and all you have to do is really just, you know, carry it in your pocket, I suppose, if you have the opportunity. And I know that this is something that I'm curious about. Is the crystal, the stone, more powerful, if you will, when it's in physical contact with the skin, the body, or if I just carry it in my pants pocket?
I really don't think it matters, to be honest with you. I really, because it's your intention. It's always about your intention. Whoever's utilizing the gemstone, it's about that you know you have that rock in your pocket. So every time you put your hands in your pocket and fiddle with it for a moment or whatever, that's like, oh, yes, I'm refocusing my attention on how self-confident I am today, mm-hmm. and that I have the courage to step forward and show everybody my magnificence.
Yeah,
that's where I am today. And then then your thought goes on to working on whatever project you're working on. And then maybe later, when you're getting ready for bed, you decide, oh, I'm going to put this in my pillowcase so that on a subconscious level in the dream time, I'm intending that I'm also still working on improving my self-confidence and courage. And then you get up in the morning, it's like, oh, yeah, my pillowcase, let me take that out, and I'm going to bring it with me and put it on the windowsill in my bathroom, and so that while I'm getting ready for work or whatever the day, I'm observing that gemstone in my energy. And then you might decide to add that to a similar rock or the same rock on your right out in front of you on your desk, if you can see how many crystals I have everywhere. And then so on and so on, you know, just continuing to have it because it's bringing your attention back to the thought form of positive intention that is attached to that stone.
And by the way, those people who hoard crystals live in a crystal gravel pit. So there you go. Let me ask you, I have only a few more questions here for you before we wrap up the program. And there are these stones, they've been polished down. Actually, this is sort of a two-part question. Number one is, you know those worry stones with little thumb imprint and you have it in your pocket? Yeah. And if you, when you start worrying about something, you reach into your pocket and you start rubbing that.
Yeah.
I'm curious, from your perspective, isn't that just reinforcing the worrying?
If they're using it to, because of their worry, if they decide that when they put their hands to rub on that stone to remind themselves of the opposite. So yes, I agree. If they're using it for worry, yes. If they're trying to replace worry with a positive thought, then it's another thing.
So, all about intention.
Here's an example. It is. It's all about intention. It's like if somebody says, you know, oh gosh, I'm so unlucky and I'm worried about my finances, blah blah blah, and they have a green aventurine stone in their pocket and they say, oh yeah, I'm going to touch my worry stone. Instead of saying the same thought, it's, I am so lucky. I am incredibly lucky, and I'm so fortunate that I have so much income flowing into my life. Hmm. And I have plenty of money, and I earn unlimited income doing what I love. That's one of my favorite affirmations, actually.
That's great. What about, and this is the, on the crystals, this is the last question I have for you before we wrap up the program. What about the shape? I mean, we have crystals that have been carved or shaped or ground into like an obelisk, like the Washington Monument and pyramids and balls and on and on and on. And does the shape really enhance, or is a natural crystal shape just as effective?
Just as effective. Immediately, I'll say just as effective. And yet, I even have a little, I have a section on that in another book about the shapes and sizes of crystals. So like an arrowhead can help you get to the point, or a geode will help you get into your inner sanctums of yourself, or a heart helps you focus on your heart. That obelisk may help you also align with focusing your attention to allow higher consciousness to come into your, awareness, and so on. You get the gist of what I'm sharing,
exactly.
I'm sure.
Final three questions for you that I pretty much give to every one of my guests.
Okay.
Who is Margaret Ann Lembo?
I am an author, a speaker, but more importantly, I am someone here on the planet that is dedicated to awakening consciousness and awakening awareness to remind us that we are love. Every single one of us is love, and all that is attracted to us and all that surrounds us, each and every one of us, is love.
And even though you've probably addressed this in some fashion throughout the program, what is it that you hope to or wish to achieve through the work that you're doing?
I do hope to transform reality utilizing these various tools, even with or without the tools, that people can transform their lives and that they can live a happy, healthy, prosperous, loving, comfortable, charmed life.
And how powerful are we really?
Beyond what we can even imagine.
I like that. Well, I want to let our listeners know that they can go to margaretannlembo.com. That's MargaretAnnLem, as in Mary, BO.com. You can find out about all of the works, including Color Your Life with Crystals, Your First Guide to Crystals, Colors, and Chakras. Margaret Ann, I thank you so much for sharing your time and your story with us here on the program, and I look forward to talking with you again in the near future.
Same here, Richard. Thank you.
And if you ever find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, please look us up. We'd love to have you in studio.
I will do. Thank you.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yes.
Once again,
thank you.
You're welcome. Again, Color Your Life with Crystals is the title of the book. My guest, Margaret Ann Lembo, and you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday at this time, love to Lal.